going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! Bring us some meatloaf!
That's insane. You're
insane.
Absolutely insane.
My palace
is the house isn't even a stained spread. It's for shit. Are you telling me?
49. I don't know what we're yelling about!
If you don't think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off the back.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just live in the tree.
I have been waiting to hit one with the Chicago Bulldogs.
I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my parents to quit to your mom. And it's like, you still got it. It's living the dream. I love that.
Brandon Pence, thanks again for joining the Chicago Bulls. I really appreciate having you come on. Yeah, what a season. What a season. And now that we've wrapped it up, we're doing a series of interviews with all my favorite people who I follow on Twitter. You're definitely one of them. So I'm glad you're able to jump on and like to get, kind of like a wrap-up with all you guys. Coming to you, asking a similar set of questions to everyone that we're going to have on this season-ending overview. I'd like to get your top three reasons for the delta of eight games. You know, under Tibbs, we won 50. Under Fred, we won 42. What's your top three reasons for why we didn't succeed in 2015-16?
I think the lack of defense as the season progressed really started hurting the Bulls. With Thibodeau, they could always, if they, even with the injuries, they could rely back on that defense. They could always have that as their calling card and kind of grind out a few games here and there and get to that 50-win mark. With Hoiberg, they didn't quite have that. They didn't quite have the offensive firepower they were hoping for. So I think that was one of the main reasons. And I think, injuries have to play a role. What Thibodeau did with his team through all the injuries is pretty much unheard of in the NBA. But that's a testament to him, I guess. But just losing your main guys, Butler went down for a long period of time. He's the Bulls' best player this year. I mean, there's no way around that. Joakim, they lost him for a period of time and had been for the rest of the season. Dunleavy being out obviously hurt them, so they didn't have that shooting and that experience, and they were forced to play Snell. Just all those things coming together, and they all kind of came together at one time, and they went through a really poor stretch right there around the All-Star break and then after the All-Star break, and just never seemed to recover from that. And they just didn't have the firepower and the toughness of the defense to overcome a lot of those things, and there was just no way they could get there like 50 win total this year with all the adversity they faced.
Yeah, I think you really touched on the big point, which is those injuries occurred all at the same time. They were 21-12, I believe, or 22-12 on January 9th. Noah goes out shortly thereafter. Butler, Rose, Taj, pretty much. Nico, all those guys had their significant injuries in the second half of the season. Only Dunleavy was really out for the first half, unless you count Rose missing all of the preseason. So, and in his defense, I mean, Thibodeau was 15-6 last year with the top six guys. 15-6. Fred didn't have any of those top six guys together all year. They were 0-0. So, I mean, I think he had more injuries than Thibodeau did. And, Thibodeau, he definitely was missing Rose, right? He had to deal with the Rose injuries. But he had guys that were remarkably healthy with major injury histories, like Luol Deng, Carlos Boozer. Those guys stayed healthy for him. And, the year that Rose was out and that Noah almost won the MVP, Noah played 80 games. Taj played 82. Dunleavy played 82. A lot of health outside of Rose. So, I don't think any coach, even Thibodeau, would have been able to survive what happened at the second half of last year. But, they were all healthy near the end for the most part, and they still faltered and failed. So can't blame it all on injuries.
Oh, not at all. And it just didn't seem like they ever came together as a group. And it just, which was weird because a lot of the same core guys have been there since, 2010, 2011, 2012. But they just never seemed like they were all on the same page, and I don't know what happened in the locker room, where I'm not an insider or anything like that, but just watching them, they just looked disjointed. They just looked like they didn't enjoy playing with each other, and that's weird for guys that have been together that long, just to kind of had that feel to it and had that demeanor on the court to where they just look like they're just kind of done playing with each other. I didn't play it to that extent last year, but I don't know. It was just, there was no chemistry on the court this year. It didn't seem like, outside of maybe Powell and Jimmy and their little alley-oop and everything they had, that was kind of symbolic, I think, of the whole year. Those two guys seemed in sync. And Tosh, I gave Tosh credit. I wrote my year-end column here recently. I gave an A, which I've been hard on Tosh in the past, but he had a fantastic year, and I thought he was a vocal leader for this group and had a much-needed voice in the locker room for them.
No doubt. Tosh is underrated as a player and a person. He deserves a lot of credit. But you've touched on something I do want to get into with the next question. There's obviously chemistry issues, and it seems like in the postseason articles I've read, they were a lot more between Noah and Butler as opposed to Noah and Rose. So I'm going to make you GM. What do you recommend the Bulls do with Noah, with Rose, with Butler? Give me your, each guy, or what scenarios. Do you trade both? Do you keep building around Butler, try to trade Rose? Do you let Noah go? Love to hear your thoughts on those three players specifically.
Let's start with Noah first. To me, we've seen 2 years now where he just hasn't been himself. His contract's expiring. I mean, I don't see the reasoning of bringing him back. He didn't seem like a great fit with Hoiberg. If you were committed to building this team with Jimmy or having Jimmy a part of this group, then I don't know if you kind of push the envelope and bring him back and kind of upset that balance. As far as Noah's play, I mean, he was, out of all players that averaged 20 minutes per game last year, he was 131st in PER. But in field goal percentage, it was 38%. That was 221st in the league of players that averaged 20 minutes. I mean, you can't kind of have that at the center position. You got to have a guy that can finish around the rim. I love Dookie Noah. I've been a fan of his for as long as he's been here. I love everything that he brings, but I think it's time to move on from him. I just don't think you can, in this NBA, if you're going to have Butler and Rose in the court at the same time, I don't think you can have Noah out there too, because there's not enough space. I think you have to kind of move on from Noah and everything that he brings, and try to find a center that either can be a rim protector and maybe hit the outside shot a little bit. As for Derrick Rose, after the All-Star break, he was better, but I don't know. You follow me on Twitter. I've been hard on him most of the season because I don't feel like he's getting other guys involved. I felt like he was kind of selfish this year, just kind of have to get his. And I think you've touched on this about Twitter and other places, but one double-digit assist game all year. I mean, that's crazy for your point guard to have one double-digit assist game all season.
Exactly, yeah. Four with nine or more, a total of four. So, I mean, it's not like he had a bunch at nine. It's insane.
That's insane. If you're... I know there's talk about moving to shooting guard, and maybe that will help, but I just didn't like the fit between he and Butler. I've tweeted on it. I've written a couple articles about it, but both of their stats were elevated when the other was off the court in those games, and their field goal percentages went up, their points per game, their rebounds, assists, everything went up. But I feel like just watching Derek, it looked like he had one foot out the door already. And I just don't feel like he's going to come back to Chicago when his contract's up. I think you need to get something for him while you can. But that means you're building around Jimmy Butler. And like I said, he's been the Bulls' best player this year. He's already on a contract, but it seems like his ego's getting out of control, according to some sources. So are you really comfortable building a team around him when he's starting to become something of a diva, according to sources, and there's rumblings and all this stuff? I don't know. I mean, if you can get that stuff in check, if he and Hoiberg really do have a good relationship of some sort, they keep saying publicly, then maybe you can, but I don't know. It's a very tough... I would keep Butler, personally. There's just not many people that can do the things he can do on both ends. And he averaged 20, a little over 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal and a half this year. Only 4 other guys in the league did that this year. And they're Curry, Westbrook, Harden, and Paul George. So that's pretty good company to be in when you're bringing up those kind of numbers. And I feel like you can build around it like that. So that would be my suggestion to let Noah walk, trade Rose, get something of value for him, and then try to build it around Jimmy.
Do you feel Jimmy's a top 10 NBA player right now?
Not top 10. I think top 15. I can see that. I don't feel like top 10. I mean, you're putting him in company with like Durant and LeBron, Curry, Westbrook, and Harden. I mean, Anthony Davis. That's pretty talk. I don't think he's up in that category by any means yet. But I think top 15. I think you could safely say that. He may be the best shooting guard in the league. I don't know if I would take Harden over him, just because of his defensive deficiencies. I think I'd rather have Butler.
I would absolutely though take Harden. I think Harden is so superior offensively.
That's true.
I think it's just a huge gap, and you know, it's a matter of getting to Harden when it matters most. You'll get something out of him to play a little bit harder, but. I thought Jimmy had a big drop-off defensively this year. I don't think he was anywhere near as good as he was in the previous season. So, to me, to say, you know, no doubt he's better than Harden defensively, but, you know, I didn't think he played that great defensively this year. My general point on Jimmy is, if he's not, I can't recall too many situations where you could say, well, we're going to build around a guy who's not top 10 and have that result in a title or... He's a two to me, right? He's a guy who should be support, you know, kind of like a not the alpha, but the Pippin. And I don't know if his attitude is going to accept that anymore. And I'm not saying Rose is the alpha because I don't believe he is either. I think he's now injuries have made him a supporting player. So,
sure. Oh, absolutely.
Why not
I
blow
agree
it
with
up?
That too.
I mean, would you trade Jimmy for Blake Griffin?
No, I wouldn't trade him for Blake Griffin. I would trade him for somebody else if the right deal came along. I have a lot of concerns. I think I tweeted this to you last night, actually. But I have some concerns about Blake Griffin. I mean, he punched out a member of the organization, broke his hand. He had knee injuries, quad injuries, defensive issues. To me, I wouldn't trade Jimmy for him. I would trade Jimmy for another person like that kind of realm. But I don't think I would trade him for Blake Griffin.
It's interesting. It's 2-1 when I ask that question in favor of trading for Blake than keeping Jimmy. And I think most people would. I mean, that's the reason I think that the conversation can even be had is because, you know, of all these issues with Blake and now he's injured again. I think Blake was clearly ahead of Jimmy before this year.
I agree.
Now I think they're close enough that, you know, you probably could make that deal. He's going to be a free agent next year. How about would you trade him to Celtics for that high pick that they're going to have through the Nets and take your pick?
That's actually what I was. That's actually what I was going to say. That trade they supposedly offered at the trade deadline. I think I would have taken that. That was a pretty decent offer. I never saw a player attached to it, but I saw that it included multiple first round picks, including the Nets pick this year. That Nets pick alone. It's going to get you near the top two or three, where you can get Simmons or Ingram, depending on, you know, who's your preference, I guess. But I think I would have taken that if you had questions about his character, because I mean they knew December's when he made the comments about Hoiberg, so it wasn't like this thing was just kind of dormant until then. They knew kind of what was going on. And if you had questions about his character, you should have pulled the trigger on that immediately.
I think though. Maybe by waiting, if Boston's out in the first round again, I think they'll be desperate. I think from what I heard, they wanted Jay Crowder included in that deal, which I am 100% for. I would like to see Crowder and that pick. But then again, you got to see where that's going to be at. I mean, could that potentially be 6 or 7? Or is it
guaranteed? Yeah, I mean, good.
So if it's that,
more likely to be a top three, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Depending on where they finish.
I mean, if it's number one overall, who knows if Boston even would make the deal. But, you know, if it's 2 or 3 and Jay Crowder and throwing another one, number one pick, which will probably be later in the draft, I think Boston, with another first-round exit, would be willing to make that deal. And I think around the Bulls, I would make that deal, and blow this up because I don't think anybody on the team is good enough to build around to bring us a title, you know, so...
And the only thing I have about with Jimmy, the thing I want to be sure about is I want to be sure he's not a franchise guy. I mean, we've seen what he can do, but he was third on the team in usage. So, I mean, it's like he still had 25 and 4. And only two other Bulls ever have done that. And they have 6 rings together. So it's like, I mean, he's putting up the stats to the extent, and he looks like he has the attitude of a guy that wants to win. But I want to be sure before we just, you know, trade him off and say, you know, he's damaged goods. You know, we need to get something for him. Because we saw Bruce start that. I mean, every time he was minus Rose, he, you know, we had 2 triple-doubles. He had the 53-point game against Philadelphia. He had the 40 from the point half against the Raptors. We saw evidence. And, I mean, maybe he tried out for a year. Maybe he tried out for half a year with just him as the guy. And if it doesn't work out, I mean, he's still going to have value around the league. I mean, what's the worst you have? You're going to miss the playoffs? We just missed the playoffs by keeping this core intact. So I just want to be sure before they decide maybe we should trade him. But then again, if you see the evidence of his attitude kind of alienating the locker room and like we've heard reported, then it probably is a good idea to go ahead and just shop him and get out of it. But I'm just afraid it's going to be something the Bulls might regret later.
It's a tough call.
It really is, you know. But again, if you feel that he's top 10 eventually and that he's got another ceiling to get to, then you probably hold on to him. But, I mean, you hear so many things. Like there was a team event on the West Coast. They all went to wine country. And Sam Smith reported he's the only guy that didn't show up. It's like, really? You don't understand the importance of that? You know, like an off-site team event on the road, and you're the only guy who doesn't show up, and, you know, all this talk, and you know, regardless of what you feel about Fred Hoiberg, his comments were one of the dumbest things I've ever read in my life. You're really going to say that he needs to be tougher on guys in the locker room? And I know that was a veiled shot at either Noah or Rose, because those two guys are certain are getting time off in practice and are not, you know, forced to do everything that everybody else is doing. And, you know, you actually take that laundry and put it in with the press. I mean, that's not being a leader. That's being stupid, you know. And I don't know. I lost a ton of faith. I loved Jimmy until this season. He had so many – don't get me wrong. He had some great moments on the court. The Raptors game comes to mind, single-handedly beating the Sixers almost by himself. But I don't know, man. It's like, you know, people are saying, well, you can't be that different. Well, are you kidding? Money changes people. I think we've all seen that. Maybe he could be, you know, this could be an issue. So who knows,
man. It kind of made me wonder just how much of that was kind of hidden under Tom Thibodeau. Was he holding some of that stuff together and just the respect that you guys had for him? Were they not going to say it publicly? Was it a different culture in the locker room? I don't know. I mean,
that's the thing, though. There were reports out there that at least 3 starters definitely wanted Thibodeau out.
Right.
And I read reports that he was one of them. Like, he was one of the guys that just had it with Thibodeau. And
I saw that, too.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't remember exactly where. But if that's true, I mean, and then you go, you know, during negotiations, let's go have dinner. You know, as another F you to the front office or what, during negotiations. I don't know what the guy's thinking half the time now. It's so confusing, and with some of his comments. And then to me, the capper is, in the game you have to win against Memphis.
That was bizarre.
I think it was against Memphis. And you,
oh, it was meant, yeah.
0 points in the first 3 quarters. I'm like,
that,
really?
That was bizarre. And I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he was, you know, if it was like, one of those Kobe situations where he was just, you know, Kobe against the Suns way back when, he just checked out, refused to shoot, and won like a must-win playoff game. And I don't know if it was a situation like that where he just checked out and was kind of making his point. That was one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen. And Jimmy's my favorite player. I'm not going to make any bones about it, but that was disappointing. And to see him play as well as he did against Detroit, I can't remember if that was before. I think it was before that game. They had the triple-double and kind of dragged them close to a victory. And then the next night in Milwaukee, you leave it all on the court and lead them to a victory. Just to not show up against Memphis was just completely bizarre. And
it was.
That's not what a franchise guy does.
No. And so, you know, you bring up a great point. He has a great game before that, but I don't know. Did you feel that he really, the offense, I felt a lot of ball stoppage when he got to him this year. And I found it, you know, what irritates me the most is I know he has the capabilities of buying in and doing what coach wants him to do. And I don't know, maybe he's just saying, hey, I got the $20 million a year, I'm the man, give me the ball, I'm going to take over. But, I don't know. To your point, the Bulls were terrible without him. I thought that was the worst part of the season. So who knows, man? Who knows? But you've done a good job defending him. No denying that. There's a few guys I follow on Twitter, you and Andy Carnes and a few other guys.
Oh, yeah. He's all about him, too.
He's been
us back and forth.
A lot of good stats. Like, my favorite is, you know, basically without Rose, Jimmy's probably the top five player in the league, you know. That's my favorite one that he came up with. I mean, who knows?
Well, he averaged like 27-7 and or something like that went up with in 11 games without Rose. I mean, if that was sustainable for an entire season, then I wish you'd kick Derek out the door now. But, you know, it's 11 games. It's like, we got to see more than 11 games of him doing that. Who knows? Maybe we will. That's kind of what the justification was when he kind of broke out is all we saw for half a season. And then look where he's at now. So who knows with Jimmy Butler? I mean, I think his attitude's probably the more concerning thing, though.
You know, back to Derek. To me, the biggest issue with him, I don't think he's lost his ability to pass, and I didn't feel he was, you know, kind of extremely selfish, but I did feel that defenses clearly did not react. I know he had over 20 games, you know, with double-digit assists in his MVP year, but you go back a lot of those games, I mean, he was getting literally double-teamed, you know, sometimes off the ball. I mean, guys would be throwing guys at him almost every time he touched the ball, and that leads to assists, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Defenses aren't reacting to him anywhere near the way they used to, and it's really sad to see in a way, I feel.
Oh, it is, and I think defenses just kind of figured out if he keeps the ball in his hands, that's even out of other people's hands who might be able to hit threes, or Jimmy Butler, who, not that he's more, I don't know if he's more dynamic, he might be more of a dynamic scorer now than Rose is at this point with all the injuries and everything, but it's keeping the ball out of his hands and Gasol's hands, and maybe they just were willing to live with the layups and the mid-range shots that Rose was going to offer instead of having taking a chance on the rest of the offense clicking. It felt like sometimes when he had the ball, it was just like you were talking about, Jimmy, just the ball stopping. And I think you have those two, your two best players are ball stoppers. The vision of Hoiball that was sold to us at the press conference last year, that's not going to come to fruition. Because if that ball's not going to be clicking around the perimeter, you're not going to get a lot of open threes, but it's going to be these two guys dribbling out the shot clock and ultimately taking a two because that's their strength. And I think you've made that point a couple times on the ball with David and Chris. In a modern NBA, you just can't have two guys that are shooting like 29 and 31% for three. That's just not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, too, the people who think they're going to bring all three back and Noah, you're going to start Noah, who can't hit a shot outside of 7 feet, and when he's inside 7 feet, he's shooting at 38%. It's like, it's bizarre world to me. I never understand. Some of the fan base just confuses me. Like, let's just look at Gasol. Let's get your take on Gasol. I know I'm the only guy who was a fan. It seems like I'm the only guy on Twitter who was a fan of him, and I know there's a white-hot hate for Gasol, which I don't understand. You know, it's almost Boozer-ish.
That's ridiculous. I thought Boozer had a better career than most people gave him credit for, too. I thought it was unfair.
So I thought for the first 2-3 years, offensively, Boozer was rock. Well, not maybe not rock solid, but he was good. He was,
Definitely consistent. In the year Rose went down, in the 2012-13 season, he was a borderline all-star. People forget that. Like, he made a really strong push near January and in the early February that he was close to being an all-star. He was playing really, really well, and he didn't get any of the credit for it.
Completely agree, but what was your take on Gasol in his 2 years here with the Beloved?
Well, I actually gave him, when I graded him this year, I gave him a B. I thought he was great offensively. I thought they needed him most of the season. They had to have him. If they didn't, they weren't going to be able to score at all. But his defense was just abominable. And I thought you could live with that as long as you had Taj or Joaquin beside him and maybe even a couple of perimeter defenders. I thought you could live with that kind of stuff just for what he gave you offensively. But ultimately, he didn't fit in the Hoiberg system. He's just too slow. He's not not able to play with pace. I don't think he likes to play with pace. I think D'Antoni tried that with him in Los Angeles, and he had kind of the same body language and what he's having in L.A. I just don't think he has any interest in it. I think he likes to play a certain style. And I thought that kind of hurt the Bulls offensively this year because they were going one way and he was going the other. And even on defense, I mean, I can't remember if it was you that made this point or it was another podcast. It may have been the Bulls that I was listening to. They were talking about how guys would push their man toward the baseline and wait for Gasol to come up and challenge the shot, and he wasn't there. He just backed off and made getting a lot of open shots. It just showed you there was no connection on the defensive end, and then obviously offensively, you know, didn't want to slow it down and play in the post and launch up those needless 18-footers off the pick-and-pop every time. It just didn't seem like it was a good fit for Hoiberg.
I think it sets a dangerous precedent, though, how the fans reacted to him, how they reacted to Boozer. Regardless how you feel about Boozer, he was one of the top five free agents in that class. Regardless how you feel about Gasol, he was one of the top three, I think easily two, in that class. And he comes in, Gasol specifically, I understand how some people feel about money. Boozer was paid really well, and he sucked, you know, at the end, right? And there's a lot of anger about that. He's the highest paid player on the team. Gasol's like the fifth highest paid player. He signed for much less than the guys ahead of him. Much less.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and he took a huge pay cut. He signed under his market value to come to Chicago
well,
to try to win a title. And the reaction is, you know, like really hatred over the guy. And it's like, that's precedent. You know, if I'm a free agent and I'm thinking of where I'm going to go, why would I want to come to Chicago? The weather sucks. The weather sucks. Costs a fortune. Taxes are insane. And the fan base, it's probably going to hate you. They're probably going to dislike you because you're not up to their standards for whatever that is. And I don't understand why you would want to come here. It really, it's not just because of, I mean, the biggest thing is it sells out, right? That's good, but
right.
Look how they treated Gasol. I remember he had this, the one that sticks with me is he said something when he was injured, you know, near the end of the year. Hey, let's, no matter what, and the season was already decided. He said, "Let's go Bulls." You know, some really positive, really good thing. The guy's a really good guy. You can tell he's.
Oh
good.
Yeah.
And you know, then you read the replies are, you know, die, please get off, you know, get lost, you suck. You know, just fan after fan, which is just you know, white hot hate, and it's just like God Almighty, what is wrong with people? It's like. Really? This is the reason we suck is because of Gasol. You really feel that way. I don't know.
I'm glad you said
that. I'll get off my soapbox.
I wish. I wonder about some of these fans. Did they never watch him play? I mean, he's been around the league a long time. He is what he is. He's been like this for 15 years. He's always been like this on defense. He's never been a lockdown defender. He's not changed his style.
Yeah, but that, you know, that was my point, too. I made that point 100 times. He won two titles, and it's like,
yes.
You go back and you watch those games, did he have a fast power forward next to him? He had Andrew Bynum, just as slow as he is, but they won titles because what? Phil adopted his team to the talent, and he just put those two guys next to the rim, and I think he is a good rim defender, and he said, all right, beat us with the outside shot. And in those games where you got to play a four or five that can hit the outside shot, well, then you take him and you put him on the bench. But
exactly.
Thibodeau last year is trying to have him guard the pick and roll 30 feet out against Orlando. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, really? What are we doing? Alfred Payton's not going to hurt you.
That was ridiculous. I remember what you're talking about with that, with Payton especially.
So
it was just
I don't know. He's gone. We ran another free agent out of town. I think, God, I would laugh so hard if he picked up his player option. just to see the reactions of the fan base would be so great.
Oh my god. But you bring up a good point, too. You talk about how they're treating these guys. Well, I mean, that goes along. What are the Bulls selling to people this offseason? I mean, they're not going to be selling a championship culture. They're not going to be selling a title-ready roster. They're not going to be selling a great management group and a respected head coach. It doesn't seem like Hoiberg got the respect that some other coaches around the league have. They're not going to be able to sell that, well, the fans are going to love you. Because it's not. I mean, they're not. I don't know what they're selling to people this year. Am I missing something? I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to come to Chicago right now under these circumstances.
I don't think the coach is as big of a deal as you think, though. I mean,
that's true.
Do you think Thibodeau's going to get any free agent? He's not going to get one Dan. He's going to get Luol Deng because he's going to give him a max contract. But he's not going to get any, like, really premier free agents. You think they're going to go up to Minnesota to play? Minnesota sucks. The weather sucks there.
Yeah.
Chicago sucks for weather. These guys that want to play in warm, great environments, like L.A., like Miami, look who were all the major free agents that signed. Melo signed in New York. Obviously, that was the same place already at. It's not even.
He refuses to leave now, so.
Right, but the Clippers, look at the big free agent signings in the past 3, 4, 5 years since the LeBron era. It's all southern cities with nice weather.
Yeah, if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at roster only. Minnesota definitely has an edge on Chicago, I think. Towns is going to be a freak. I mean, he's just unbelievable.
You think Minnesota really though is preferable than Chicago?
I mean, it's kind of indifferent, though. Don't you think? I mean, I think Towns alone, and let's not forget they're a high lottery pick though too. That is going to do a lot, especially if it's in the top 3 or 4, which I don't know if that's possible. I haven't looked at the standings, but they might have something, and they might just need role players to fit in. More than anything, if Wiggins develops in Towns.
I don't think Wiggins is better than Butler.
Oh, no, not at all.
And I don't, Towns, I think, is great. He's awesome, no denying that. He's a big man, I just still think the roster as a whole, the Bulls, partly because I think Rubio sucks. I don't think he's great. I think he sucks. I really do. And, he does a couple things well, but can't shoot a lick, and that's a big negative for me.
He's kind of like a younger version of Heinrich, and the fact that he can't shoot, but
he can defend. He just proved my point.
Hey, Heinrich has some value for us this year. He got a player and a pick. How about that? I mean,
it's unbelievable. It really is. Yeah,
it really is. I mean, after seeing Holiday and how he played, that was a steal. And Heinrich, I mean, he doesn't even bench anymore. I mean, he's just like insurance. It just blew me away that they were able to get a guy who looks like he could probably be in the rotation and a second-round pick. My goodness.
Insane. I mean, Carpack should get GM of the Year honors just for that alone, to get something more than a bag of donuts for Kirk Heinrich.
Great, then I gave him a C-plus for that move alone. I gave them a C-plus for that. He's washed up. I mean, it's awful. I mean, just watching him try to play. We've watched it for years now, but he's terrible.
Oh, no doubt.
Awful.
No doubt. And I love it how there's still his lovers and defenders out there who always who act like, if they build a statue for that guy, I really think I'm not going to go to another Bulls game for the rest of my life. I think Ben Gordon deserves a statue before Kirk Heinrich and the story.
Ben Gordon's great. He is great here. Luol Deng, Luol Deng would deserve, he played just as long, and did more. He probably contributed more than Heinrich ever did.
I would buy that. I would agree with that. Absolutely.
I think he's kind of get forgotten. They kind of criticized him for getting hurt those couple years in the playoffs, but I mean, he did a lot for the spring. I mean, he was around for a long time, for like 9, 10 years, something like that. I mean, that's a pretty good run for a guy ever up with the Bulls, especially. But I actually wrote that piece about if he should have his jersey retired. kind of sarcastically. the comments were just so mixed. It was hilarious. It was like all uppercase yes and all uppercase no. And I didn't read that.
I got to read that article. Were you writing it tongue in cheek? Were you like not being serious about it, or were you like?
I did try to examine it seriously, but the idea was very sarcastic. I mean, I was just kind of, you know, something to write. I knew people were going to click on it, so it was a little bit of clickbait, but it's on a Shy Bull Zone. The shocking thing is, when you look at his career compared to, like, Jerry Sloan and somebody else, I can't remember, Bob Love, it's not far-fetched. At that point, it's like, oh my gosh, I could really see him doing this. The main thing that differentiated him was All-Star appearances, I think.
Yeah, but exactly. He never made All-Star team. I mean, that's where
it's people love him.
You don't retire someone's jersey if they've never been on an All-Star team. That's insanity. You know, Jerry West is one of the best defenders in the league, in the history of the NBA. Heinrich was never near that. He's got one second team vote. Like a boat, right? Or did he make the second team? I think he made one.
I think he made one.
Yeah.
It was like 06, 07 when they kind of surprised the league. And I think they had to give something to somebody because they were so surprising that year.
The Bulls went on like a Heisman Trophy type of campaign to get him on that team. It was a joke. I can name 10 Bulls that are more deserving of a jersey in the rafters or a statue than Kirk Heinrich. So.
Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah. Horace Grant, even with his short tenure here, I would hope they would honor him before Kirk.
Tony Kukoc.
Kukoc, for sure.
Absolutely. Come on. If they do, like I said, I'm really going to be upset. We'll see. Next year, assuming the team comes back with Butler and Rose, is there any free agents out there that you'd like to see them go after that you think would be a good move to kind of balance, kind of come with those two guys in mind?
That's a good question. I haven't really given it much thought. One guy that I just love, and this would be assuming Rose does move to shooting guard and Butler goes to small forward. I think Mike Conley would be a nice addition here, a nice guard that can do or play both positions, kind of similar to what Etan Moore is able to do. I think he'd be a nice stabilizing presence on the court. I think he's just kind of a mild-mannered guy. Seems like he's a floor general. Plays good defense. You know, Paxton's big on him. The defense starting with the point guard. I think he can also hit the outside shot a little bit. So I think he'd be a nice addition to this team. I haven't really given much thought of who else, but I kind of like their starting group of Rose, possibly Butler. I'd like to see McDermott get some minutes in the starting lineup. I don't think you can do it with the potential defensive deficiencies. So maybe Justin Holiday and then Taj Gibson and Felicio. I think that'd be kind of an interesting lineup to see. I don't know if it's as talented. I don't know if it'd get you anywhere, but it'd at least be something to explore. There's enough scoring, enough defense that maybe it'd surprise you. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a free agent out there that's just really that I'm looking at, just like, man, that would be a great fit here.
Well, you need the shooting, and I would love to see McDermott get an opportunity in the starting five at the three. And
like, what does he have to do to get a starting job? I mean, we've seen injuries and everything happen. A lot of guys, and it just seemed like he never got a shot at being a starter. I never understood that. You know, I kept waiting for him to get that opportunity, and he never did.
And he had so many really good moments this year. I think it was a little underrated how well he did offensively, especially in the second half of the year. He had a ton of really good games, several in a row. I mean, the 30 points against, I think, the Raptors come to mind, and not a lot of shots either. It's incredibly efficient, you know, true shooting percentage, I think, overall. Really, really well done, but everybody points to his awful defense, and
I didn't think he was that bad on defense this year.
He's no Luol Deng, right? But
right.
I don't think it was as bad as they make it out to be. It is not good, but as long as he can get to be capable or just average, come on, you can hide that. You can work around that as long as you got good defenders in the paint if you clean up the mess. Noah and Taj and those guys are led to be that. So, you know, we'll see. You're going to replace Gasol with a defender. Let's make it happen. Brandon, hey, I really appreciate you jumping on, man. It was great to have you on the Bullseye. And I really appreciate you taking your time today to join us.
Hey, it's always an honor. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bud. Talk to you soon, bud.
All right. Thanks, Fred.